Okay, how many of you need rest this morning? Okay, pretty good show of hands. Like yesterday was Saturday, you might be like, oh, I thought, well, we're all coming in here rested maybe. But you might be aware that you're not really at rest even when you make time to rest, especially if you have kids. But then also you might find that even when you get time that you call rest or that the world would call rest, you might find that there's not a rest in your soul. That be true? So let's pray for that this morning before we then look at this fourth commandment as we walk through the Ten Commandments. Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you've given these commandments, and though we hear the word commandment or rule or things like that and we bristle a little bit, we get worried, we are aware of our inadequacies, but you show your grace and your love to us in telling us that you want us to have rest. And so we thank you for that. Please help us through Jesus to find rest that is truly rest. I pray that if anyone is here this morning who just has never really met Jesus, never really been encountered by Jesus in a way that where their soul has found rest, I pray that that would happen even this morning. Thank you for the work of your Spirit among us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have here the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And of course it goes on longer than that. It's a pretty big paragraph, right? You remember maybe as kids or other times you see pictures of the Ten Commandments and they're kind of nice little sentences. But when you actually read them in Exodus 20 or if you were to go over to Deuteronomy and read them, you see some of these commandments take up some space. And the Sabbath is really the biggest one. It kind of moves in and just takes over. And there's debate within the Christian community concerning the fourth commandment, concerning this command to keep the Sabbath holy. Does it apply today? How does it apply? What is required for Christians in terms of like remembering the Sabbath day? The one thing that we all know for sure, we have agreement on, is that Chick-fil-A is closed. Right? That's the one piece we kind of figured out. Now, when you see that picture, you might react in one of a few ways. You might react by saying, right on, you know, finally a Christian business. Or you might react by saying, that is stupid. Like, open on Sunday and make the extra, you know, millions of dollars you could make if you were just to do that. Or you might react by saying, I don't understand. Like, how is Sabbath and Sunday connected? Isn't the Sabbath the seventh day of the week and that Saturday, and I don't get it. So you can be in any one of, you can be anywhere along that spectrum. And I'd say that among Christians, there's a range of views. Some would say this, some would say, and we can go back to the text here, so we don't just all sit here getting hungrier and hungrier with a hunger we can't meet until tomorrow morning. So some Christians would say this is a creation ordinance, right? That commandment, you look at the end of it, it talks about how it's rooted in creation. The seventh day of creation, God rested, then he tells us to rest. And so nothing changes. Like, we need to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Nothing's changed because this goes deep in Scripture, and we should keep the Sabbath. So some Christians would be on that side of things, whether they consider Sabbath a Saturday or Sunday, which we'll get to. And others would say, you know what, this has all changed. We're in the New Testament. These were ceremonial laws. We're not required to keep the Sabbath in any way, shape, or form. You can look at some New Testament verses where it says some honor one day among above others. Other people don't honor one specific day. It's all good. You're like, we don't need to honor a day. And so there's quite a range, and people will argue for both those positions, and there's good biblical stuff to sort through with that. I think that the view I want to present today is compatible with wherever you are at on that spectrum. And because the main thing I want to say is this, that the Sabbath commandment is a gift. The Sabbath commandment is a gift. It says something very important about God's will for us and God's care for us, and we should strive to enjoy every blessing that God has for us here. So instead of trying to figure out what's the law, we'll kind of talk some about that, but what we really want to understand is this opportunity God gives us, that he would write this into the Ten Commandments that he'd etch this into Scripture and show his character through this and so forth is something that's really a gift to us. And I want us to hear it that way today. Let me just say a few things about the story of the Sabbath just as an introductory, a few introductory things if you're new to Scripture before we just make a few points then this morning. First of all, you need to know that the Sabbath is just all over the Old Testament. The word Sabbath actually means rest, and in the creation narrative in Genesis chapter 1, there's 6 days where God makes the world, and another issue people debate is what are the days and all that, but the point is there's a pattern that's shown there of work, 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 God creating everything, and then on the seventh day, it says God rested, and it says right there in Genesis 2 that God blessed the Sabbath day. He made it holy. We're called to keep the Sabbath day holy. God made the Sabbath day holy. That's what it says in Genesis chapter 2. God rested. And what does that even mean, by the way? Right? Like, God just spoke and the world was created. You know, it's like if Joe over here, this tall dude, put up your hand, Joe. If Joe were to go, you know, grab me, there's two Joes. If Joe were to go, you know, grab me a glass of water, which I'm good, I don't need water, and walk that in. I'm like, okay, Joe, you've carried that glass of water all this way. Go sit down and rest. I'm like, Joe doesn't need to rest. Like, he's a big guy. That water, Aaron didn't cost him anything, right? It's like, what does that even mean that God rested, except it's clearly there to teach us something about his character, something about the way that he accomplished something and then enjoyed it. And it's there to teach us something about ourselves, about our work, about our enjoyment of our work and our rest. Because God could have just as easily said, hey, I made the world in 6 days and then, you know, peaced out. But no, he made a seventh day and rested on it. So then in Genesis 2, therefore, God took that day of rest. In Exodus 20, which we just read, God required that day of rest of his people Israel. God, if you keep reading through Exodus, God legislated that day of rest. There's a lot of Sabbath rules. They keep coming up. If you go beyond the Ten Commandments, go into Exodus and later in the Scripture there, you'll keep seeing that God legislates the Sabbath, is very clear about particular rules concerning the Sabbath. There are actually many different Sabbaths that are also mentioned, and God rewards those who keep the Sabbath through the Old Testament. And God punishes, sometimes by death, yes, I said by death, those who profane the Sabbath or who, in a prideful way, go against that command. And so there's a lot in there about this command on the Sabbath. So then the New Testament comes along. Jesus taught on the Sabbath. I mean, Jesus taught concerning the Sabbath. And Jesus fought about the Sabbath. Because the Pharisees came, and this was a big badge of honor that we know how to keep the Sabbath, and we're God's people, and this is a big deal to us. It was one of, you know, two or three primary markers of what it meant to be a follower of the true God, of Yahweh, of God of the Bible. And there's a lot of clashes as Jesus and his disciples would do one thing and the Pharisees would challenge them and Jesus would speak about the true meaning of the command. And he also called himself the Lord of the Sabbath. In fact, the Sabbath is such an important command that Jesus actually worded it this way. He said, the Son of Man, which means himself, is Lord even of the Sabbath. Even of the Sabbath. As if to say, this is a big deal. If I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, that's a big deal. It's really a statement of his divinity and a statement of his authority. After the resurrection, when Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, that became the Christian day for worship. Right there in the New Testament, you'll see that the first day of the week began to be a day that was set aside for a gathered worship of Christians. And so a lot of the Christians were still keeping the Sabbath, still like going to a synagogue or participating in activities among the Jewish culture on Saturday, but then on Sunday would more explicitly worship Jesus. And slowly but steadily, that seventh day worship replaced the seventh day Sabbath for believers in Jesus. And it's worked its way all the way here and in Chick-fil-A. So, the fourth commandment takes up a lot of space in the Bible, a lot of space even among the Ten Commandments, and it's no wonder because it really has a lot to say. And so I want to show you right now that the Sabbath has a lot to say. The Sabbath speaks on many topics, okay? That big paragraph, you don't have to answer this out loud, but you can. Like, what's it about? What is the Sabbath command about? I mean, you have commands about murder later. You have commands about stealing later. You have commands, you know, don't commit adultery. Like, you could say, oh, that's about marriage. Okay, that's about parents. What's the Sabbath command about? It's about a lot of things. Certainly, it's about rest, but let me show you as we walk through that verse. The Sabbath speaks, God speaks, about our time, right? God is Lord of our time. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He has something to say about our time. Do you believe that? Like, do you tend to think God has something to say about your time and how it's used? Specifically, the rhythms of life and the rhythms of time. Sabbath speaks concerning our worship. You know, it's not just remembering, it's not just a way of organizing our days, but he specifically says, remember that Sabbath day in this command to keep it holy. Keeping is a word about observance. Holy is a word about distinction and honor, but then it also says it's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. So that day called the Sabbath for the Jewish people was meant to be a day of rest. It was, that certainly was key, that they just wouldn't work, that their bodies would get rest, but just be done in a way that was somehow to the Lord. It's a statement about worship and honoring him. The Sabbath speaks concerning our work. Now, if we go back to that text, we can switch back over to the screen to Exodus 20. You notice that it doesn't just say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. So this is also speaking about work. 6 days you shall work. Now, I think primarily it is saying, like, you got six days to get stuff done. Maybe you get it done in four. Maybe you get it done in one, but like use those 6 days, okay? So mainly it's not necessarily saying you have to fill up 6 days of work, but I would say this. The Bible is very clear that God did make us to work in the broad sense of the term. We don't necessarily have to do our job that we get a paycheck for 6 days a week. We don't necessarily have to do labor and work that we hate or that's begrudging 6 days a week. But God wants us to fill those days with meaningful activity in service of him. Like, God wants you to use your gifts. God wants you to use your talents and opportunities in serving him, whether that's, you know, pretty, you know, whether that time to earn that paycheck takes up most of that or not. And so God has something to say not only about our time and our worship, but also about our work. Of course, this commandment says something about our rest. The commandment says, on this day you shall rest. Don't do any work. That was the command for Israel. Don't do any work on that day. That was the key thing they were to know. That's why it's called Sabbath, the word Sabbath meaning rest. But here's something also that's very fascinating. Not only does it speak to all these topics, this commandment also speaks to what I would call like our leadership or our business practices. Take a look at that command again. And right now, maybe you're in authority, like in your family, like with kids. Maybe you're in authority in your place of work. Or maybe you're under authority and it's tough to be under someone's authority. Look at what it says. It says, after it says the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, it says, on it you shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner within your gates. So like Israel was told, don't do work. Don't let those who are under your authority and leadership do any work. Don't let your animals work. Don't let your pets work. Don't let your sojourners work, those who are visitors. Like there was to be an exercising here of allowing rest for others. It's quite fascinating because you see in the Ten Commandments that God is concerned for justice. You see in the Ten Commandments that God is concerned really for what kind of culture flows out of these commandments. So, in our culture, we like to rest and we like to play, right? We actually, coming from a Judeo-Christian worldview, we have rest worked into our calendar. We've gone to more of a five-day work week. We have, you know, 2 days off on the weekend. How many of you have actually 2 days off on the weekend? A lot of us, but not everybody. A lot of people don't. And one thing that we see in our culture is our culture kind of just keeps roaring along every day of the week, right? So when I grew up, which was a long time ago when I was a kid, kind of embarrassingly long time ago, when I grew up, like, you didn't have to say closed Sundays. It was assumed you were closed on Sunday, and the business would just say, here's what our hours are Monday through Friday, or maybe Monday through Saturday. It might say, hey, it's amazing, we're open like 3 hours on Saturday also. Like, that was the culture. Our culture has become one in which pretty much every day you expect stuff to be open. That's why you get that hunger for Chick-fil-A, and you're like, I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A. And then you drive there, and you're like, no, not again. How did I forget, right? And so you go over to, I don't know, either just to weep or maybe to grab some Taco Bell. And so our culture is formed around kind of continual work, right? And around the holidays, we see this too, because you're like, man, I'd love to have Thanksgiving off. Oh, no, I got to work. I'd love to have Christmas off. Well, I got to work all the way up until maybe even midnight before Christmas, or maybe even on Christmas Day. Just everything just kind of keeps roaring along. I find this so interesting. The point here simply being that these Ten Commandments in general and the Sabbath commandment specifically has something to say about our culture, has something to say about justice, has something to say about taking rest, allowing others to have rest. One other quick note about this. A few years ago, Christianity Today, which is a magazine and an online magazine, did a series where they asked questions that certain Christians love to answer. And the question was, how can we as Christians be countercultural for the common good? You're like, what? How can we be countercultural for the common good? Okay, so you're expecting like good, heady answers like, how can we really show what it means to serve the poor? How can we really show a Christian worldview of this topic? How can we really give a Christian worldview of that topic? So they had like six different writers each do an essay once a month about how to be countercultural as Christians, how to be radical. How many of you want to be radical? Or is it you're kind of too tired for that now? And the first person who wrote was Lauren Winner, I believe is her last name, and she had written a couple books by that point, and she was kind of a known person out there. She had written a book called Girl Meets God, which was a testimony of her coming to faith in Christ from Judaism, another book about Christian sexuality. So she wrote the first essay, and the essay was, to be countercultural, sleep. I was like, oh man, that's a disappointment. Like, I wanted to read like some cool stuff about like taking over the culture. Like, let's go into the halls of power and get stuff done. And she said, to be countercultural, sleep. She's like, no one sleeps because we think we're gods. We think we have to get everything done. In fact, she said it this way. She said, is it any surprise that in a society where we try to deny our mortality in countless ways, we try to deny that we're really going to die. We really want to believe we can just kind of like get so much done and kind of, we want to believe we can live forever, though we know we can't. In a culture, a society where we try to deny our mortality in countless ways, is it any surprise that we also deny our need for sleep? So being countercultural. Okay, so what's the point here? Here's the point. The Sabbath speaks in so many ways. And you might say, so what? I want to say that God, in this context of this Old Testament commandment, God commands the details of life because he's Lord of all. He commands the details of life. Now, we'll get to the New Testament in a minute, but you know that this God who we sing about on Sunday mornings, this God who we come together around, the God who we worship, he speaks to areas of our time, our rest, our work, our worship, who we are and who we are to be. He speaks into these details. He commands these details because he's Lord. But here's what I think is most important to know. He cares about the details of our lives. This command shows that he cares about the details of our lives. And so my second point is that the Sabbath speaks God's grace. Our Maker wants us to rest, is what this command is saying. Now, Exodus 20 is given after the fall, the time where the first man, first woman fell deep into sin. They rebelled against God, and one of the things God said at that time was, look, you're going to work. Guys, you're going to work, and it's going to be hard. And what was meant to be a joy, and again, living out your gifts and your calling, is going to often be very hard. How many of you had a hard time this week with work in some way? Nobody. Okay, at least one person did. I talked to him earlier. Okay, two, good. You've had those hard weeks at work. You've had times where things just don't seem to be going as you hope. It could be in trying to find a job. It could be in your current job. It could be in a business that you're trying to get going, and it just seems like you just can't quite get past over the hump. Work is hard. Certainly in the context of the Old Testament agricultural world, work could be very hard, could be backbreaking. And into that world where God says part of the curse for sin, part of the consequences of sin is that your work is going to be hard, he still says, I'm still telling you, as a father who cares about you, that you're going to have a day of rest. That's a good God. That's a gracious God. He didn't say, because of your sin, you're going to really see what it's like to live without me. You're going to get it. And just allow all that fullness of the experience of life without God to manifest itself. God is so gracious in telling us to rest. And I'd say this regarding the Sabbath in particular. You know, if you don't remember the big list I put up there about all the things that the Sabbath talks about, you know what the Sabbath talks about that's so dear to all of us? Two things, time and money, right? Because work relates to money, and time often relates to money as well. Why do we have trouble with a commandment that would say take a full day and rest? We have trouble because we want to make more money and because we don't think we have time to rest. Isn't that true? And so God, through the scriptures, not just these Ten Commandments, but through the storyline that goes through the Bible, God frees us from the tyranny of more. I need more time. I need more money. I can't sacrifice anything. I can't rest. He frees us from that. You follow the storyline of Scripture and you read the story about manna in the wilderness. How many of you know that story? The Israelites are in the wilderness and God tells them he's going to take care of them. He's going to provide for them. He's going to feed them. They're like, how in the world are you going to do that? He starts raining down what's called manna from heaven. This, like, what is it? It is manna. The word manna means what is it? And they gather it up and every day they get to eat manna. And, you know, manna stew and manna burgers and manna whatever, they can eat manna. So they're eating manna in the wilderness day after day, but on the seventh day, no manna comes. And so they have to trust God that that 6 days of provision was enough for them, and they had to trust him, and they were trained in that, but they were then freed. If they were to embrace that, they were able to recognize God is our provider. God is our provider. He's giving this manna. He's giving us what we need. We can trust him with that. Freed from the tyranny of more. And I find there's a voice in my head that doesn't allow me to rest as long as there's more work to be done, more to check off the list, maybe more money to be made. But how many of you would agree? You don't have to raise your hand since you're not into that today anyway. How many of you would agree? Well, some of you are. I'm sorry. It's okay. How many of you agree that cycle of kind of continually finding something next on the to-do list to do, it burns us out, it corrodes our soul, and it leaves us feeling empty? Because we are empty, actually. And so by calling us to rhythms of rest, God is granting us permission to say no to the tyranny. And so that's why I say God is gracious. The Sabbath is speaking to God's grace. And so my desire for you all this morning, I don't have a big statement about, like, here's exactly what to do on a Sunday or on a Saturday. Or what I want to say is this: receive the Sabbath as a gift. Receive Sabbath rest as a gift. I believe that's what the early Christians did. The early Christians in the New Testament, one of the reasons you don't necessarily see a whole lot after Jesus debates with the Pharisees about the Sabbath, and you do see words about that rest not just being about a day, and you see words about not trying to keep all those laws, actually. But one of the reasons you don't see even more about that is because the early Christians, a lot of them, especially if they weren't in a Jewish culture, did not even have the opportunity for the Sabbath. They didn't have an opportunity to take a day off. Many were slaves. Many were not, their time was not under their own authority. They were not in that place of authority to give rest to others. Many early Christians were not able to take that day. And so you saw Christians striving to find time. And this takes place in persecuted countries to this day. It took place in the early church under persecution. Christians trying to find time, just to carve out time for the rest that is gathering with God's people, together gathering for that space of rest and encouragement in Christ. And so you see that. And then as Christian culture kind of took over the Western world, well, then it became more legislated, right? That the Christian Sabbath, the Sunday, would be, you know, a day to let go of work and so forth. But the point is, I believe that Christians, at least at their best, have always seen the Sabbath as a gift. Like, let's work towards this. And yeah, we can get legalistic about anything. So there's plenty of ways that Christians have been and will be legalistic about the Sabbath, or what we should do on the Sabbath or on Sunday. There will be plenty of opportunity for that. You'll hear that. You'll see that. But instead of just resisting that like a pendulum swing and saying it doesn't matter at all, let's realize, hey, what a great gift it is that God would put this command, even though it's in the Old Testament, he'd put this there for us to see that it's okay to rest. Now, when I was in my 20s, when I was in college, I was, for a pretty long space of time, I'd say the better part of 10 years between college and seminary, I was, for most of that time, working full-time or almost part full-time, and being a full-time or almost full-time student during that time. And one of the rhythms that God put in my heart to do was to have that rhythm of 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. And so I made it a point not to do that homework and that work on Sunday. And to me, I never felt like this is an absolute law, it absolutely must be this way. Like, I can think of maybe one or two times I was like, I think I just have to get something done here. I think that's okay with God. But to me, it was like this gift, because I got refreshed on that day. I was able to go into that Monday strong, and God helped me get through all those classes, all that stuff, do that all very well, so I'm thankful. And I know when kids come, it's harder. I know when life gets overwhelming, it's harder. It's kind of like you become that person who feels like you're a slave, like you're running on that treadmill, and I've been there too. But when I've been there, I've eventually had to get off that. I've eventually had to get off that treadmill because I find my soul can't sustain it. And my point, again, is simply this. Let this commandment that shows God's character, that he's concerned for our rest, come into your ears as a gift. So the Sabbath speaks grace. The Sabbath, if it's going to speak grace, we know that Sabbath must speak of Jesus, because he's the fountain of grace. So the Sabbath speaks of Jesus. Now in Matthew chapter 11, which we read, you heard Jesus say, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Okay? All through the Old Testament, God is talking to his people about giving them rest. Not just the Sabbath rest, but the rest of being in their own land, the rest of being in the promised land. And here Jesus comes along, speaking with the voice of God, saying, "I will give you rest." And then he says, you look at the bottom there, "You will find rest for your souls." Now Jesus, as a perfect human being, he enjoyed perfect rest. Now, he was a busy guy. You read those gospel accounts and you see he was often going from the crack of dawn all the way till nighttime, and people were pressing in and demands were being made. He knew how to pull away and get rest. You'll see Jesus do that. But there's this story, how many of you remember it, where Jesus is in the boat and the storms are huge. There's actually a bunch of boats around. Jesus is in one of them. And everything is going crazy. The disciples think they're going to perish. Like, this is the end of us. And Jesus is asleep, right? And I always think that's just kind of like Jesus either being clever or maybe just kind of like being like God, like I can sleep through this giant storm. I wonder if this is Jesus being completely human, but as perfect human, he, one, needed rest, took rest, and because he was so in tune with his heavenly Father, no storm of life disturbed that rest. So Jesus enjoyed that perfect rest. It's interesting, speaking of RC kids, I was teaching RC kids 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it happened to be like Easter week. I mean, it was like the Easter week story. I'm sure we'll kind of cover Easter again in a few weeks with the kids, but we walked through like what happened the 5 different days, or the 7 days that Jesus was in Jerusalem, when he came in on Palm Sunday, crucified on Friday, in the grave on Saturday, rose again on Sunday. We sang about that, if you noticed, this morning as well. And as we were teaching that, I was talking to the kids about what happened this day, what happened that day. I was giving a multiple choice and saying, you know, what did Jesus overturn the tables in the temple? Did Jesus die on the cross? Or did Jesus do absolutely nothing? And that was like kind of like a joke, like, did he just do nothing? Well, there's one day, if you follow all the Gospels, you look at Jesus' week leading up to his death, the busy week in Jerusalem, so much going on. There's one day, I think it's Wednesday, where it says nothing about what Jesus did. Just doesn't say a thing. I think that's so cool. I don't know where he was. Don't know what he was doing. He hasn't told me. Maybe it just doesn't say, and he was doing all sorts of stuff. Maybe it doesn't say, and that day he was pulling away. What's also so cool is that Jesus provided rest for his disciples. And if you're Jesus' disciple, listen to this. After that statement where Jesus says in Matthew 11 that I am the true rest, after Jesus says that, he leads his disciples into some, well, there's basically two stories where his disciples and he are getting into trouble for breaking the Sabbath. Like it follows right along the statement. So we know that this ties into the Sabbath, because Matthew purposely puts these two stories about the Sabbath right after Jesus says, I'm going to give you rest. And both times Jesus is doing things that the religious people of his day did not like. They thought he shouldn't be doing on the Sabbath. They thought he was wrong about it. They thought his disciples were wrong. You know, they're picking some wheat to eat. They're, Jesus heals somebody on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees are coming after Jesus on these points. Now, when I hear Jesus defend, when I hear Jesus remark to the Pharisees or go hard after the Pharisees in those moments, I tend to think Jesus is defending himself, right? Like, okay, I've allowed my disciples to pick this wheat on the Sabbath, but here's why, because here's what the Sabbath really means. And he goes into the real meaning of the Sabbath and what it really means. But it occurred to me over these last few days, Jesus was constantly defending his disciples, right? So accusations are coming to the disciples, you know, you're picking wheat on the Sabbath, you're doing this, you're doing the wrong thing. And they don't know how to defend themselves. And Jesus steps in and he defends them. Start looking at some of these stories of Jesus in that way. Jesus is not just defending himself. He is defending his disciples who wouldn't know how to defend themselves. He's speaking for them. And so Jesus gives us rest because he's there. He is our rest. We come to him for rest. He's the perfect example of rest. But he also, when he is with us, he is defending us against our enemies. The accusations that are going to come, the accusations about you when you even take needed rest, Jesus is there to even defend. So interesting. But of course, Jesus is our true and ultimate rest. He's not just an example. He doesn't just defend us, as awesome as that is, but he is rest itself. He's rest itself because we can never truly rest if our soul is not at rest. How many of you know that to be true? How many of you have spent some time, some downtime, where you cannot really have downtime because your mind is just going? And some of you, it might be, I just have more to do. The to-do list is just too long. I can't stop thinking about it. And you need to know that Jesus is the one who's in control of your life. He is the one who accomplishes what matters in your life. You can let the to-do list go. For some of you, that's really easy. Like, great, I hate that to-do list. For some of you, it's kind of like, no, I can't let it go. I won't let it go. Let it go. let it go. For others, you are maybe a little bit like me, and you can't rest because you are thinking, what are other people thinking about me? I could care less about the to-do list itself. I could care less about getting this stuff done, but I do care what people think about me. And so we're not trying to control all our circumstances, but we are trying to control our relationships and trying to control what people think about us. And we can't really rest because our actions and what we do is too much oriented around what other people think. That can even be true with something like, you know, with any of what we'd learn through talking about the Ten Commandments. Oh, I want to be a good Christian. I want to do this. I need to appear this way. Jesus frees us from that garbage because Jesus is there. He takes our sin upon himself. He is our righteousness. We don't need to control our lives. We don't need to control our relationships. We don't need to control our money or our time to the degree we think we do. We can entrust these things to him. And that's why Sabbath rest is a gift. And I would say just furthermore, just a reminder, Jesus gives us eternal rest. You know, he gives us eternal rest. Eternity is described as a place where there's work, like joyful work. But eternity is also described as a place where there is an enjoyment of the work. You read Jesus speak about eternity as a feast, you know, where Moses and Aaron and Abraham and Isaac are coming around this table, and we are able to join him, even though we're who are we? We're able to join at this table and recline and rest and put up our feet and enjoy, because there is an eternal rest that is coming. Only Jesus purchases that. And so I would say that remember the Sabbath day today, what it means. You might be one who's like, I'm setting aside that whole day. You might be one who wonders whether that's just kind of Old Testament style. I don't need to do exactly that, but I'd say this. Remembering the Sabbath day means entering that rest of Jesus. He is our rest, and we cannot honor the Sabbath day. We cannot honor God apart from honoring the Son, Jesus, who is our rest. It means enjoying that rest. It means living lives of countercultural rest. That our lives are marked through those who know us as people who are not, do not have that wheel inside them, that hamster wheel is just always turning, always spinning, that we can take time. Can you take time to talk to a neighbor without thinking to yourself, okay, I ran into this neighbor. This is so frustrating because I really have to get over there. Can you do that? I know I often feel like I cannot. Just something's wrong inside me because I'm not at rest. Jesus calls us to have a rest in which we're trusting him with what concerns us today. If you have questions about some of this, please talk to me afterwards. I'll be with Cullen. I want to ask you a few questions as we close. First question is, do you have healthy rhythms of work and rest? Do you have healthy rhythms of work and rest? This Old Testament pattern, okay, is 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. Do you have rhythms of rest? Is it working for you? And I would say this as well, do those in your care have healthy rhythms of work and rest? What about your kids? Is every day a homework day? Is every day a sports day, a soccer day, a duty day? I know my son lets me know when he feels it's that way. But I want to be at home. I'm like, we're out and about again. And, you know, there's needs to be patterns of rest for those in our care. You know, do you and yours have healthy rhythms of work and rest? Next question is your rest restful? Are you actually resting? And the final question, and I think this is one for I really want to highlight, is your rest worshipful? And here's what I mean. You might take time off. You might have a job that allows it. You might have weekends free. You might do a lot of stuff that is leisure and that you feel like is rest. And you're not sure why it's not completely restful, and you're not sure why your soul is not at rest. And I would say it might be because your rest is not worshipful. You're not pulling back in a way that is actually helping you to, look at your life and look at the gifts that God's given in light of who God is, in light of who Jesus is to you. That Sabbath command in the Old Testament was given, and the wording is such that God is saying, I want you to rest, but I want you to do this unto me. And when we don't rest unto him, we find it's not really restful. And it's not restful because it's not worshipful. Is there space? Is there quiet space in your life? That might, when I say quiet, that might be alone. That might be with friends. That might be with your MC. That might be with your family. Okay? But is there quiet space for worshipful rest? Rest in which you are enjoying each other, enjoying God, enjoying his gifts, and recognizing that before you go back out into a busy week or a busy day. Ask yourself those questions this week. And let's pray that God will help us to be countercultural by sleeping, by resting, by providing rest for those around us, by not being so demanding of those around us, and by enjoying the fact that Jesus would defend us as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you gave this command to honor the Sabbath day. And here on this side of the cross, we don't have a rhythm where we honor the seventh day, but we do want to honor the Lord of the Sabbath, and we want to honor the principle that you have given, which is that we should experience Sabbath rest. And so, Father, I pray you'll help us to do that, and I pray you'll help us to leave here today viewing that as a gift. If we can't seem to find it, I pray that we'll want it and pursue it. If you've given space for that rest, I pray that we'll use that space well. I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.